heaven, I open up my eyes and I see you sitting there. What are you sitting there for? Good to see you, brother. So, welcome. That's Brother Kevin Knapp from Bloomington. Thanks for being here this morning. It seems like you're making an effort to get here in the morning and sing and help praise and honor the high and holy name of our Father. So thanks for doing that. Thanks, song leaders, for standing up front and singing hymns together. It's a beautiful thing. So welcome to Sunday Morning Around the Word. I want to introduce Brother Brad Metz, who's here with his wife, Karen. Brad, you're the father of five girls. Is that right? Is that even possible? Yeah, it happened. Wow. So good to have Brother Brad here. He preaches the word in Bloomington, and he's going to preach this morning. We've asked him to take the next chapter in Nehemiah chapter 8, and we look forward to hearing that today. He is the dad of Larissa, if you haven't figured that out, our Larissa. Turn it over to you.
Well, good morning, and a warm, hearty greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is a joy to be with you, and it was a joy to come see Mark and Larissa this weekend as well. And first, Karen and I want to thank you for welcoming them and including them as part of your family and caring for them and loving them. You know, we raise kids and we turn them loose and we just pray for them, and they end up in a spot like Indy Church, and it causes us to rejoice that they're plugged into your church family. I also bring you hearty greetings from Seth and Hannah Belier. We were with them yesterday morning, and so it's reciprocal, right? We are thrilled that they're part of our church family in Bloomington now, and but they especially said to extend their love and greetings to you today, and we're thankful for them. Well, it is a beautiful day in the Lord this morning, and you have already been blessed, I know, in your study of Nehemiah, and we want to continue with that today. Let's open our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8. I don't know who put this study together. Is there a committee or someone who arranged this? Was there a specific purpose and intent to do Nehemiah 8 today, September 23rd? If there was, you're an excellent planner and administratively very astute. If not, I would say it's divine intervention, a divine appointment that we are in this chapter specifically on this day, September 23rd, 2018. Any guesses why? Are there any Jewish scholars or Old Testament scholars here this morning? Well, tonight at sundown kicks off a Jewish celebration called Sukkot. More easily understood and common to us, known as the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. Feast of Booths. It is a feast that we can go back to Leviticus and read about in God's establishment of the different feasts that the Israelites were supposed to use to commemorate and remember things that He has done for Him in their past. And the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, is one of those. It starts tonight for the Jewish people and runs through the coming week. I think that's all I need to say before we read this chapter. But you can keep that in mind and look for the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, as we read this chapter together. Nehemiah chapter 8, starting from verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man unto the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mathaniah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, and on his right hand and on his left hand, Padiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. You don't have to stand up this morning. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. With lifting up of their hands. You don't have to lift up your hands this morning either. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their face to the ground. You don't have to bow down and put your face on the ground. Also, Jeshua and Bani and Sheridijai and Maaseiah, Kalitai, Azariah, Jozabed, Hanan, Pelei, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them, and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so. Now that's an interesting observation here. It's been, you know, Joshua was part of the Exodus from Egypt, approximately 1500 BC. And now we're in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra, which is about 460 BC. So we're observing here a space of about 1,000 years where the word of the Lord had not been followed. Since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. They had not celebrated this feast of booths. And there was very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly, according unto the manner. Let's sing a hymn together, and then we'll come back and discuss Nehemiah chapter 8. Some of the thoughts of chapter 8. We're going to sing a song here, a hymn in the Hymns of Zion, number 563. This Feast of Booths, this Feast of Tabernacles, was established by God back in the Levitical law, following the Exodus from Egypt and following the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. As we think about this word, and we're going to dig into it some more, but as we sing this hymn, let me challenge you this morning to think about times of wilderness in your life. Maybe you feel like you're in the wilderness at this very moment. Let's for a moment go back to the story of that Exodus and that journey through the wilderness for 40 years. They left the land of Egypt under this oppression, this miraculous parting of the Red Sea, and then the complaining started. And then it was a journey of 40 years through the wilderness, the desert. Has anyone been to Israel or to Jordan to see and observe this landscape? It is a desert. There is nothing there. Every once in a while you'll see a little group of sheep with a shepherd walking out in the middle of what looks like almost a lunar landscape. And there's little bitty pieces of grass that grow up between the rocks that the sheep are still able to find. But it's a brutal landscape. And so for a group of anywhere from 2 to 6 million people, plus all their cattle and sheep, almost inconceivable. It really is inconceivable of how that kind of provision and protection could keep people alive for 40 years. But that's what the wilderness is like, isn't it? If you're going through a wilderness time in your life at this very moment, it feels that way, dry, thirsty, barren. If you've had those moments in your life, I would tend to suggest and believe that most of us have had those moments in our life. It might be a wilderness situation with a relationship. It may have been a wilderness situation about the future, our future. Maybe it's a wilderness situation with a job or a place. Maybe it's a wilderness situation with our faith. Dry and barren. This Feast of Tabernacles, this Feast of Booths, was to remember the protection and the provision of God in the wilderness. And so as we read, it was a directive to build a tent. Any campers here this morning? People who like to camp? It's never been my thing. But it always seems like more work than it's worth to me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, boy. But you know, the people who love to camp, they understand that. And I can understand, you know, maybe a reason to camp after looking at this feast of booze. That they were instructed to go out and find branches and leaves and to build a tent. And to move from the comfort and the ease of our home, their home, and live under this tent for a week made out of branches. A booth. To remember God's protection and provision in the wilderness. So as we sing this hymn together, the hymn design number 563. Protection and provision in the wilderness. Number 563.
Thank you.
Let's kneel and pray together. Our gracious and almighty Father God in heaven, it is a great privilege that we too can kneel and bow and worship before Thee. We thank You, Father, for the preservation of Your Word, that we can open it and read it, Father, and we have the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. We thank You for these amazing gifts. And Father, this morning, we think about the wilderness, Lord, and we see Thy protection and Thy provision, and we remember. We also pray, Father, for those who are going through the wilderness at this very moment. Pray, Father, that they can see Your hand and Your provision in this very moment. And Father, the things that we remember, that it can build our trust and our faith and our belief, that going forward, Father, we know there are other wilderness moments coming in life. That's how life works. And Father, we know that they can be expected. But Father, it gives us such joy, gives us such strength to know that You are in our future. So we pray, Father, that the worry and concern and the cares of the wilderness moments we're in and the wilderness moments that we will face in the future are not too big for Thee. That You're not surprised, Father, or wringing Your hands, wondering how we're going to get through them. But Father, those are moments then that we can remember of Your protection and Your provision in our life. Father, give us hearts and minds that are quick to remember and to see and observe the work that You have done and are doing in our lives at this very moment. Break us down, Father. Help us not to take any credit for anything good in our life, but to give You all the honor and glory and praise. And Father, be willing to share our testimony and the stories of our own lives, of Your goodness and faithfulness with others who may need that encouragement in this wilderness time. Father, we thank You for the establishment of Your church, the body of Christ, each one with different talents and abilities and gifts and experiences and perspectives. And we need each other. And so, Father, continue to use this body here in Indianapolis, not only to present the gospel and to share the good news of Jesus with this community, Father, but to build up and edify each other by sharing the love of Jesus, by sharing the Word of God, by sharing the account of Nehemiah to challenge and convict and to encourage each other to remember Your faithfulness and Your protection and Your provision. Father, we are so thankful for Jesus, so thankful for Your plan, so thankful for His Father, for His willingness to die and shed His blood for our sin. May that first and foremost be, Father, our feast of remembering that Jesus has provided protection and provision from our sin through His shed blood of the cross. We also thank You, Father, for the power of His resurrection that we now live in. And so we pray for Your grace, Your continued grace, Father, Your love and Your mercy. Use us, Father, however You would see fit, to present the gospel, to live the gospel, and to lift high the name of Jesus. Pray for a blessing upon this body, Father. Be with each one. And Father, specifically those who are going through the wilderness, may you be real and powerful and comforting and encouraging and edifying and loving at this moment in our life. We love you and we praise you. We thank you for these things and ask for the Spirit's presence now this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Ryan.
So we have this opportunity in this coming week to celebrate the Feast of Booths in our own lives, spiritually speaking, by remembering God's provision and protection and encouraging each other to remember His provision and protection. Let's jump back just for a moment to the story of Nehemiah, a phenomenal example, a phenomenal book. Wasn't able to listen to all of the previous messages. Typically, Nehemiah is known as an excellent presentation of biblical leadership, of godly leadership in life. And so I hope that you're taking that in as you go through this book, all of us. You know, kids included. It doesn't matter if you're 6 years old or you're 96 years old. As a Christian, as an understanding person of the gospel and a person who wants to be used by God in powerful ways, you are a leader. With that comes some responsibility that sometimes, if you're like me, you may say, that'd be a hard thing to do. I would prefer if someone else would have to take that responsibility. That's really not an option as a Christian, is it? Either we believe it and we live it and are fully committed to it, or we're not being effective the way God wants to use us in our life. And Nehemiah is a tremendous example of godly leadership. You know, when I think of Nehemiah, I think of him as a person who was very in tune with what was going on around him. He was listening. He was inquiring. He was observing. He wasn't worried about Nehemiah. That's convicting to me. He was concerned about the people around him, the body that it was surrounding him, and his responsibility and his where God had placed him in life. It's a phenomenal aspect of godly leadership, Christ-like leadership. So these neat Old Testament stories are all types of Christ, right? You probably talked about that in your studies. A type of Christ. Christ is the perfect example. But these Old Testament figures, these Bible stories, are types of Christ that we can relate to as humans. Finding ourselves in tough situations, in a wilderness. Just as Nehemiah did and many of the Israelite people did, in a wilderness, in a foreign country, in exile, stuck in Babylon, far from home, not by their choice, slaves. Tough situation to find ourselves in. Yet Nehemiah was bold, and he was concerned about others, and he was willing to step forward in faith, not knowing what kind of response he was going to be faced with personally. Trusting God. The other aspect of leadership that I find so fascinating about Nehemiah, and that kind of leads to this conclusion here, are this opportunity in chapter 8, which is a phenomenal opportunity in this story to praise God, is that in rebuilding the wall and in going through the struggles and the issues and the things that were happening there, you know, Nehemiah approached positives and negatives in a very unique way compared to many of our leaders today, and maybe unique to how we are inclined to be leaders. And that if anything good happened, anything positive happened, first and foremost, he gives God the glory and praises others. Did you catch that in the story of Nehemiah so far? Whenever something good happens, something positive happens, it's thankfulness to God and others who have done it. When any time something bad happens, who raises their hand first and says, "It's because of me. It's because of my sin. It's because of my ineffectiveness as a leader, a brother." Nehemiah. Drastically different of how leadership is often presented to us in today's culture and society. We need to take the heat for something. Something's going wrong. As a leader, all of us need to say, "It's because of me." And when something good happens, it's because of God and you. God gets all the glory. And the body gets edified. Lessons from Nehemiah. So he gets the wall built, and God has pulled them through. So now they're coming to this opportunity to thank God for what he has done, bringing them back from Babylon, establishing the wall, carrying through the wilderness, the tough times, the opposition, to now have the opportunity to praise God together as a body. There's this leadership piece. Let's in our Bibles go to John chapter 7. There's a couple of terms here early on in this story about this gathering that then leads to this festival of booze, this feast of booze. That is just fascinating how the Bible ties together. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "All the people gathered themselves together into the street that was before the water gate." The water gate. And he mentions it again, I don't see what verse it is. I know that he mentions it again, that the people were gathered together at the water gate. Now, part of the provision and protection of going through the wilderness is, in a desert, is water. Vital. Maybe the most vital aspect of 40 years in the desert is the provision of water. So let's go to St. John chapter 7. For the first couple, we'll skip through here a little bit, but let's start at chapter 7, verse 1. "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, was at hand. So we skipped forward here about 460 years. Now Jesus is in Jerusalem, or in Galilee, and the Feast of the Tabernacles was at hand in Jerusalem. And so this conversation takes place. Should I go? Shouldn't I go? And Jesus goes and kind of sneaks into this feast because people were there to kill him. Verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory." Shades of Nehemiah are really Nehemiah shades of Jesus, right? Here Jesus is explaining Nehemiah's leadership, saying, if you want to speak of yourself, take any credit for yourself, leader, you're seeking your own glory. "But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" You're going to criticize and condemn me for breaking the law? How about you? And the people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you unto circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "You both know me, and you know whence I am, and I'm not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me." Skip ahead a few verses. Verse 35. Then said the Jews among themselves, "Whether will he go that we shall not find him? Whether will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, 'You shall seek me and shall not find me, and whither I am, thither ye cannot come'? In the last day, that great day of the feast." So let me set this up for you in this Feast of Booths again, this Feast of Tabernacles. Part of the process with this feast is not only to have tents of booths of pine trees and branches to remember his protection and provision. Part of the remembrance was at the water gate. Do you remember? They're at the water gate where water is brought in and out. The priests would go to the Pool of Siloam and grab a pitcher of water, and they would come and they would pour out the water before the throng, and they would say, "Remember the provision of water in the wilderness. Remember the provision of water in the wilderness." Verse 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast," the last day of the Feast of Booths, "Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus says, "Remember." So here's the challenge. As we go through the wilderness, and we remember God's protection, and we remember His provision, and remember all that He does to get us through the wilderness, He's not just getting us through. He's not just saying, we're going to get you through this one and we're going to move you on to the next one. He has a plan and a purpose and an amazing thing that He wants to use you for, loved ones. He says, because this provision for you in the wilderness, this living water that is only available through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, if we put our faith and trust and we remember His provision for us in the wilderness, He says, I am going to do something through you that is absolutely amazing. This rock that was cleft, you remember the story when Moses had to strike the rock. And water came out of that rock. You know, sometimes we can see a picture in Egermeyer's or something. It's got this little stream of water, like a water fountain coming out of it. You've seen those pictures before? This was a river coming out of this rock. It had to feed or water millions of people and millions of cattle. This is no little stream. This was a living water that was more than sufficient. And now Jesus says, if you're going to believe on me and trust in me to get you through the wilderness and to provide and protect for you in your life, He said, I'm going to provide something for you where the living waters are going to flow out of you to touch and to impact and to change and to provide and care for others around you in a way that is beyond your comprehension. Is that exciting to you? Would you like to sign up for that program? As we remember God's protection and provision, let's also be convinced and to know that this living water of the Holy Spirit of God working and using and moving, flowing out of you, is changing the world. He is using you to provide for and to give water to those around you. So if you're in the wilderness right now, how does that make you feel? Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to take you out of the wilderness. He said, I'm going to provide for you a living water. And the power of this living water is going to be a river. That it's going to change the world. You. And you and you are going to be used to provide provision and protection. And the living God, the Christ, the living water, is going to flow from you and impact the world. So whether you have been through the wilderness or you're going through the wilderness, are going to be going through the wilderness, be convinced. Never forget God's protection and provision for us, and that He is using you to water and to provide and to sustain those around you.
I think we could sit here for probably 7 days. and think about that. We don't want to be too historical, do we? Feast of the Booths, I'm not quite sure if it was 7 days, but you know, they took 7 days to think about that. What two words did Brother Brad talk about? Provision and protection. That's really good. Well, that's just right on. You know, God's provision and God's protection. I was thinking, you know, in my own personal life, how has God provided for me? You know, things were coming back up. Things were coming to my mind. Oh, man, remember how God provided there? Whoa, remember how God provided there? That was really cool when God provided this. Remember that? I mean, God has been so faithful. You look back in your life, and I think that's what this morning was about. I mean, you know, but we're almost, you know, let's go to lunch. Oh, yeah, you know, let's go to lunch. Or let's sit here for 7 days, you know. Let's just sit here for 7 days and just think about this. Your excuse to use the bathroom. No, I mean, obviously we wouldn't do that. But, I mean, I love the principle of that. And I'm thinking, how can I carry this on? How can I, you know, and then God's protection. You know, I think back and stories come to my mind of God's protection. And I think, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, and if you don't take time, you forget those things. Or you just, you know, you are oblivious to them at times. And so what a beautiful morning to think about that. And I think, you know, even as a father, I'm thinking of that for my kids. Except not one of my kids are here today. You know, but wouldn't it be fun to sit around the table tonight and say, okay, kids, we're going to, oh, I don't know, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say, let's go camp out tonight. But maybe let's go in the backyard, pitch that tent. Let's just hang out. Let's talk about God's provision and God's protection. Okay, give me one example of God's provision. Ah, that's excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Emily, what's one time that God has provided for you? Oh, I love that, Emily. Okay, Anna, what's one time God, you know, provided for you? And just go through it. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, we could have open mic here. We could start with these young ladies right here. Let's start with Raquel. Raquel, okay, come on. Give me an example. How has God provided for you? And she could talk and talk and talk. You know, we could stay here for 7 days. I'm getting a vision for this. No. But don't you love the story? Don't you love that? And, you know, then the next step then is to take that. I mean, we could get real excited about that. And then to take that and then to affect the world. I mean, who in this world doesn't need to see God's provision and God's protection? And I love, and Brother Brad didn't read it. I don't like to do this very often. But verse 39 in John 7, and he read 38, where the out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, what is that? That's what we have dwelling in us. But this spake he of the Spirit. You know, that Holy Spirit that lives within us. And that's such a blessing to have that Holy Spirit and then to go and affect the world. Wow, that was a good morning. So we thank the Lord for his word. Let's sing a hymn together and then we'll pray.
As Brother Ron mentioned, we would now look to a brother to lead us in a closing prayer this morning. And we would ask, since we're set up cafeteria style, that you would include a blessing on the meal.
Heavenly Father, we come before you and are just thankful for your word, for the lessons that it provides. So many that we could talk to and about this morning, but maybe one key one would just be leadership, Lord, and you know, all of us can be leaders in different ways and leading. Leading by example, leading humbly, and as Nehemiah did, and knowing, Lord, that all good gifts are from above, and it's only because of you that that we have the blessings that we have, and are put in situations where we can affect change, and hopefully be a light to those around us. Again, we talked a lot or heard a lot about wilderness today, and you know, the kind of the peaks and valleys that all of us have gone through in different areas of our lives. But the provision and protection we have in seeking you as our refuge, and just such a great reminder, Lord, that that you're there. No matter what, no matter what's happening around us, good, bad, in work, in our relationships, family, wherever it might be, Lord, you're there, and no matter what wilderness we're going through, we just can always return to you and keep you front and center. We ask, Lord, that you just bless leadership here. We think about upcoming vote for minister. It's just that we would all keep it in our prayers as we go forward. We ask a blessing on the Sunday school teachers, ministers, all those who serve the church, and also on the food that we're about to partake and the hands that prepared it. We ask all this in your son's name. Amen.